Please enjoy this previously recorded segment.
Welcome to the HR Power Hour, presented by Career Management Associates. I'm David Chulo. It's about all things in the human resource world. We're going to bring in local, regional, and national guests, and we're going to talk about a variety of topics and explain why human resource management is critical to your business success so that you can make decisions to keep and retain great talent. This week on the HR Power Hour, Tom Dowd will be our guest, and he's going to be talking to us about his new book, Now What? The Ultimate Graduation Gift for Professional Services. And you're listening to the HR Power Hour presented by CMAcareer.com. And today we're going to bring back one of our great author guests. Tom Dowd has a new book, and it's called Now What? The Ultimate Graduation Gift for Professional Success. Tom, welcome back to the show.
Dave, thank you so much for having me.
You are just inspirational in the book writing business, man. What's this, book number three?
Number six,
number
believe it or not.
Six! Yeah, I knew that. I just thought I'd have a little fun with you. For those of the audience out there, Tom and I do know each other quite well. So, during this show, we may just have some fun. That's what we're going to do. We're going to have fun today. So tell me a little about what inspired you to write the book, because, you know, I know you've been talking a lot about your career. We've certainly had you on the show when you were going through, you know, the job loss and how you found a job and how networking was so critical. Tell us why you got to the point of writing this book, again, called Now What? The Ultimate Graduation Gift for Professional Success.
Well, I said I wanted to slow down on writing books. In fact, if you look at each of these six books, the number of words has gone down significantly on each. And it's not about being intentionally lazy. It's about intentionally pushing myself to become a better writer and to become more clear and concise in my messaging. And I believe I am a much stronger communicator because of that goal I set for myself. But the inspiration for this particular book is I've been teaching professionals and people who want to advance career-wise, and I wanted a different market. I wanted to say, what can I do? Because I have three girls. So they are 15, 17, and 19 years old. So
God
they're getting
bless
to the
you.
Point of graduating college, just starting college. And I want to be there for them. And I wanted to say, what can I do to give them quick hit advice to do what they need to do to succeed in the business world? And I was sitting at a book signing in Camden. Things were running a little slow. And so I started flipping through some books, and I saw the Places You'll Go, Dr. Seuss. And no, I'm not competing against Dr. Seuss here. but it was fun. It was lighthearted. And I saw a book next to it that was very inspirational for life-changing, life moments. And I started to think, well, what's out there for the business world? That's short, concise, pithy. And I really couldn't find something that will teach people what they need to do to get to the next level successfully, but succinctly. And so I decided to challenge my own writing skills, and I wrote very short passages, thinking in terms of the social media generation that we're dealing with. They like short 140 characters. I couldn't get down to 140 characters, but I did limit myself to 2 lines to 6 lines is the max for each passage. And it rhymes, and I challenged myself as a writer, and hopefully they're able to take something that relates to interviewing and resume writing, time management, and the things that will make them successful in, quote-unquote, the real world.
You know, it's true that we have become a generation that certainly reads less, or what we do read, we want to get through quickly. I mean, you mm-hmm. are correct from a social media standpoint. You know, we certainly talk about the resume a lot. You and I have had these conversations, but we're now down to an actual resume. It's typically looked at for the initial cursory read of 6 seconds.
Yeah.
Six exactly. seconds, which is about as long as it takes to read a tweet. Okay, so it's interesting that we've got to the point of doing that. So when you're talking about that, why do you think the book then is relevant and be in today's market?
Well, it's relevant and very, very specific to the younger generation because it's clear that this generation as a whole, and we're going to make blanket assumptions here, and I will caution my answers on, they are blanket assumptions, and the key should be looking at the individual person. But as we're making these general assumptions, we know that the younger generation appreciates the present. What's going on now? We know that this generation is addicted to technology, and they like easily digestible pieces of information. But sometimes there's this wisdom that they want from people that they respect. And I think the latter part of this gets lost in many of the assumptions we're making about this younger generation, us older folks. And we need to understand that this generation as a whole, believe it or not, respects feedback. They like feedback that's immediate. They like it balanced, but they like it easily grasped and they'll run with it. And this generation as a whole thirsts for this direction, this guidance from people who have experience. So they appreciate a good mentor. They appreciate a good, respected manager. And the key is to hand this messaging over on the silver platter so they can then run with it. You know, how many times have we all said, gee, I wish I knew that when I was younger? And what I attempt to do in this book to make it relevant is I attempt in these 150 pages to have these quick hit lyrical prose that still relate to people who are taking that next step and to put them in a position to succeed professionally, because people do want that. And I think some of the assumptions that have been made about this generation are just downright wrong, meaning that they just want to take any job and they're going to leave it soon enough, so why should we invest in them? That's all wrong. And we've got to be able to give people the tools and resources to succeed. And that's, here's my little taste of trying to do that.
No, I think you've done a great job of really looking at this in a very succinct way. You know, I want to jump back a little bit because obviously you and I spoke a little bit at the beginning of the show that you've gone through transitioning, right? And really you want to impact that knowledge to others. So I'll start with a very basic question, and we may have talked about it in the past, but I think it's relevant for people to understand a little bit about you. Why is this topic of transitioning to the professional world so important? I mean, why is it to you? I mean, you're so passionate about it, you're doing 6 books on it.
It's because I finally figured out who I was after about 20 years in the professional world. Growing up, I was dense. I was also shy. I was introverted. I was also defensive, and I was cynical, but never admitting any of those. And so now we're making our own labels for people coming up through the ranks of high school and college and into the real world. And you know, just looking at the piece where I was shy and introverted, I was told for 20 years that I couldn't communicate. I was a communication major in college, but on my performance appraisal, it said you can't communicate, Tom. And yet, for those 20 years, I didn't do anything about it. I didn't take the action. I was being handed a gift, and that gift was feedback. And I may have kidded myself into saying, well, I'll do something about it, and it wasn't sustained. I didn't do much about it. But in 2008, my company, after being with the company for, I believe it was about 18 years, it was about 28,000 people, was swallowed up by an almost 300,000 person organization. And during that time, leading up to this, I had some success. I was a little inconsistent with my performance. I was on a roller coaster ride every once in a while, some good, some bad. But I think towards the end of the company being taken over, I was in survival mode. And all I wanted to do was thrive, but now I was taken over, and it was very eye-opening. I have a family, I have kids, I've got this career that I could be losing my job if I don't turn myself around. So it was the splash of water in my face that I probably needed, and I went from this survival mode to this thriving mode. What can I do to thrive in where I am right now and not get lost? And I realized that I wanted to make a difference. So I started to, not just to survive in the company, but I wanted to find a mentor to have people develop me and help me along the way. And that said, well, why can't I help others? And so I became a mentor. I joined Toastmasters International, which has been a wonder for my communication and confidence. You know, I started to make this very concerted effort to make a difference by teaching others. And part of that was sharing the mistakes and being vulnerable enough to say, I'm too dense, I'm too shy, I'm too defensive, I'm too cynical, and all those things that go along with it. And what I found is I started to get a following of people who said, thank you. Thank you for sharing your mistakes with us. And then it allows us to share ours too. And by being a little bit more vulnerable, a little bit more sensitive, we get to be who we really are. And I came full circle in learning how I had to teach myself to be myself. And I think that's where it really came about. And that led to writing my first book, The Transformation of a Doubting Thomas, Growing from a Cynic to a Professional in the Corporate World. And it led to the other books, and it led to being a professional speaker in this coaching business. And it became this accidental success because I was willing to say, here's who I want to be, and take the actions to try to get there. And that's why I'm so passionate about it.
We're talking to Tom Dowd, and he has a new book, Now What? The Ultimate Graduation Gift for Professional Success. I'm sure it can be found on Amazon, correct, Tom?
Absolutely. Yeah, in ebook and paperback form.
That's great. That's great. If you're not there, you're not really having a book. That's how it is. we talked a little bit about, you know, about you here. We talked about why you're bringing it forward, and I think you're doing admirable work, to be honest with you.
Thank you.
You know, one of the things that you just mentioned in what you're talking about is the lessons you've learned, right? And so what lessons did you wish you learned after graduating from high school and college?
I wish I learned them sooner, I guess, as part of that as well.
Amen on that, by the way. Amen on that.
The first is nobody's going to tap you on the shoulder telling you, we're ready for you. We're ready for your next promotion. We're ready for you to take the next steps. You can't. There are too many other people that are looking out for themselves, and they probably should. But nobody's going to tap you. And you may have heard the phrase before: hope is not a strategy. You know, we hope that good things will happen for us. And you know, when people say good luck, you know, we have to make our own luck. And I think that's part of the lesson. I realized as I was talking about the transitioning into the professional world, why it's so important for me, is I started to find more success when I became more proactive about driving my own success. It's not a coincidence. And it's when you're diligent about doing that, you will find more luck because you'll start to develop yourself. You'll start to become more technical savvy, more business savvy, financial savvy. All of that comes into play. And there's a saying out there, and I wish I could give the appropriate credit for it. It may just be one of those anonymous ones, but opportunity seldom labels itself. And these lessons came alive for me when I started managing the efforts of people. And I became a manager, and I'm sitting there working with people. You know, there are people who are working for me, and I'm working with mentors who consistently ask the question of what I could do for them as their manager or as their mentor to get them to the next level. That's always that question you hear. Well, what's
sure,
it going to take to get to the next level? And so I provided them feedback, and I said, here's what I can do to try to help you. Here are the things you should probably do to help out yourself. But it started to get very frustrating, probably because I lived it and I was asking those same questions. But you get this belief that someone else is going to take care of you, that someone else is going to fix my problems for me. And it's interesting because you mentioned when you and I had talked a few years ago when I lost my job, you know, that I would have put bets on the people who would have helped me out the most, and some of them are the ones who just kind of turned or walked away. And so you start to figure out, we make assumptions about our relationships with people professionally, and maybe we shouldn't. You know, maybe we should be having, you know, understand what we need to do for ourselves so when our mentors and when our confidants and when our managers and everyone are willing to help us, they're part of the overall broad process of this. But we can't make those assumptions that someone else is going to take care of us. And so this comes back to being accountable. being accountable for ourselves, being accountable for our development. And this doesn't mean, by the way, being selfish enough to be stomping on people on your way up the corporate ladder. It's more about understanding what you need to do to develop yourself and take actions to proactively, and that's important, to proactively set yourself up for success. Because once you've found who you are and who you want to be, all right, so now you're saying, okay, now I think I'm ready to transform into who I really want to be. We can then go off and build real, true, genuine relationships with people that, believe it or not, benefit everybody. Now, I think a lot of times, and you know, feel free to chime in on this, but how many times have you seen people competing for the next promotion or competing for the next step up on the ladder, when in reality, if we do this well enough, we can all win. And we can all find our piece of the pie through teamwork and through collaboration.
No, you're absolutely true. And look, it is great when we can learn from somebody else's mistakes, right? I mean, let's be true of that. It is great when we can. I think the challenge, and I think you would probably agree with this, is that a lot of people aren't willing to take the time to necessarily do that. Or listen, and especially if it comes from your parents or if it comes to a position of authority. So when it does come from a third party, in terms of either a book or a conversation, you listen more. Whether that's right or not, I'm not getting into that debate. But you know, the problem is that people have a tendency to listen to third party sometimes more, and are more apt to make the change if in fact they're willing to make the change.
Yeah, and that's a big piece of it, is the willingness. My wife says I don't listen enough. And that's probably because we're too close. But I think you give some really good advice there, is if you're not sure who to turn to the people you're close to, but be willing to talk to people that might be a level or two away from that connection to you, and who can give you an objective point of view, and maybe you will listen to it. Yeah, there was an old manager of mine, and we were no longer working together, so he didn't have this vested interest in me anymore, but he had a vested interest in giving me feedback. And he asked me the question, he said, "Tom, if you run through a wall, will people follow?" And when I knew what the answer was right away, and it was an answer I probably didn't want to hear from myself, the answer was no. I had to change my thought process. And those thought-provoking questions from people we respect, who can provide this objective feedback, and more importantly, who have this will to have you actually listen and be willing to do something with that gift that was just handed to you, is very powerful. And those are the people who take the action on that feedback to make themselves better are the ones who find success. Just look at all the successful professionals out there. Guaranteed there's backstories with every single one of them where there were major mistakes that were made and lessons that were learned that made them better and stronger and ready to where they are right now, ready to take that step.
There's no question. And we're talking with Tom Dowd, author of Now What? The Ultimate Graduation Gift for Professional Success. You're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB and now on 100.5 FM. And we will be right back.
Founded in 1958, Jackson Lewis is a national law firm with a local presence. The firm's 765 attorneys practicing in 54 locations throughout the U.S. and Puerto Rico provide a wide range of resources to address every aspect of the employer-employee relationship. HR professionals, business and in-house counsels, and C-suite professionals count on Jackson Lewis, as it has one of the most active employee litigation practices in the United States. Contact them today at jacksonlewis.com. That's jacksonlewis.com.
And we're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour, presented by CMAcareer.com. And today we're talking with Tom Dowd. He's the author of the new book, Now What? The Ultimate Graduation Gift for Professional Success. I highly recommend you go to Amazon.com because it really is some great, simple reading with very poignant professional advice. Tom, we've been talking about in the first session the reasons you wrote the book and kind of some inspiration about what the book's about. You mentioned the generational conversation that you're trying to have in this book, as it is targeted certainly for people who are graduating from college, maybe even in high school. We're talking about, you know, Gen Y. We're even talking about maybe in some cases Gen Z, right? Even the next generation that's coming up through the workforce, though I particularly like the term iGen rather than Gen Z, but that's just my particular preference. Anyways, bottom line is, you know, when you're talking about Gen Y and millennials, what do you think is the impact of Gen Y and millennials in today's workforce?
Well, I think sometimes the older generation, who for the most part are leading a lot of the business, they are making some blanket assumptions about these younger generations, and we need to caution ourselves on doing that, because if you think about it, all of the generations have said we're better than the previous generation and so on, and you can go back in time. But you're right. You've got four generations that are going to be working next to each other. And once you add the Gen Z piece of it, you're going to have potentially five generations working next to each other. And we've got to be able to get along. We've got to be able to build stronger relationships and, more importantly, better understand each other. And so when you look at some of these assumptions that we make for Gen Y, you look at some of them that say, all right, well, this Gen Y group loves technology and very comfortable with it. And you can argue that maybe they multitask a little bit better. I get a little concerned about multitasking because it's not always the best way. But I would say that this generation accepts chaos a little bit better. They can have multiple pieces of information flying their way, and they seem to absorb it a little bit better. And this generation is also great with the community. As we're making these blanket statements, you know, they have this impatience to want information, this impatience to want to help within their communities and towns and live a good life. And those are positive things. You know, those aren't the negatives that we often hear about the generation. So the question comes back to, well, what do we do with them? What do we do with this generation in today's workforce? And we as businesses have to understand that they're here to stay. The millennials are the ones that are going to get hired. You know, if we really want to think long term as a business, it's a fact. And so let's get over the fact that if we want our business to have the sustained growth and to stick around long term, the millennials are going to be here. So by being realistic, we also know that the younger workers are naturally part of this long term succession plan who will replace the aging leaders. So when you start thinking about that, the reaction to understanding how to now take this piece of clay that's sitting in front of us, how do we mold this thing? You know, it becomes very important to us, instead of making these negative assumptions about them, let's start looking at some of the positives. We can either brush them off with these assumptions that maybe they don't work hard, that they're going to leave us and go to another job in a heartbeat, we're going to invest and train them and they're going to go, or... Or yeah, maybe they just want to sit there and text their friends. Well, let's get past those negative pieces and start thinking like real true business leaders and say, well, can we hire the right people who do want to work hard and understand that, well, maybe they just don't want to be bored. So don't put them in a position where they're going to be bored. Give them valuable work to do. Put them in a position where they can collaborate. They're very well known to want to build relationships and collaboration. So put them in those types of environments. Put them in these open environments. You're seeing it at the Googles of the world and the Apples of the world. You know, it's not done by accident. They are opening up an environment that creates idea generation. It creates fun. What it creates is engagement. And what you're doing is creating this engagement and to think long terms in our business on what this younger generation can do for us is they can take us to another level when it comes to creativity. And then we can say, let's go back to the assumptions we make about the community. Let's put them into a position where we're being open, where they can be altruistic, and that they can give back to their community, because that will be a little bit more stickiness for having them want to keep themselves at the company and know that, okay, all right, not only am I contributing and adding value to this company, I'm contributing to the community, and which all of that will ultimately lead to greater growth in the company and hopefully in their paycheck. And this isn't about, you know, you get these assumptions. You work in a place and they say shut down all social media because it's going to keep them from being productive. Okay. Well,
not very effective. Not very effective.
Sometimes we're going to be put in those positions. But instead of taking this non-trusting way of looking at it, you know, there's some people that have done some studies on it. And as long as they're not spending the entire day on Snapchat or Facebook, Twitter, whatever it may be, if you give them a quick glance, give them a couple minutes, your mind's actually switching gears. And it's actually giving it enough downtime to come back and actually be more productive. And so when you start looking at the positives of these things, instead of putting handcuffs on people, open up the doors, be a little bit, build and earn the trust and respect you're looking for, but more importantly, build a relationship with the younger generation. They can come in and absolutely have an impact on your workforce.
No, they absolutely can. You know, it's interesting. Some family businesses that I've worked with, you see this really, the generational shift, right, between either the founder and maybe the next generation, the owner, and then the next generation, the son or daughter who's working there up through that. And you can really watch the mix between the feeling of the generations. But ultimately, it's going to be up to the Gen Y to carry the load. Because ultimately, that's what's going to happen. I distinctly remember one of the owners telling me that his son had come in and they were disagreeing on a path, right, forward. And he had said that his son had said, and I quote, "That's fine. I'll just wait 5 years. You'll be gone. I'll do it my way anyways." it's a funny statement, but he said that he sat back after saying something to himself, like, yeah, you're going to get the inheritance, yeah, on my dead body. And then he thought, actually, that could happen someday. Maybe I need to rethink it, right? And he had to rethink how his communication was with that generation, because some of the stereotypical things you're talking about, right, is exactly some of the things that he thought. And he then went out to try to communicate better with that generation, and now today has a great relationship with his younger workforce and really learned from it. And that's what you're talking about, right? Learning from the generation, that mentoring, that coaching them through this, and getting them to understand that that is professional success.
Yeah, don't stop fighting it and open up the doors for it. Now, are you finding in those conversations with people in the generations that are family business owned that some of the generation are saying maybe it's not for me and maybe want to break out of that traditional?
There are some, yes. You know, certainly I'm on the Institute for Family-Owned Business here in Maine, and we do a lot of work with family-owned businesses. And we certainly see that, you know, it's the family business is not necessarily right for everyone. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, businesses have to make a decision between, do I hand it down to the family member if they're qualified, they're ready, we have a succession plan in place, or do I have to start thinking about going outside and bringing a non-traditional family member into the business? Because maybe we need to grow it a different way or do it a different direction. And from that standpoint, you know, this is about your career choices, your professional success moving forward, and what it really means for he or she that are in that position.
And I had a really interesting conversation with someone yesterday about the younger generation, and they said they were constantly arguing points, and I just feel like we can never get on the same page. And again, it's looked at as this negative, that they're constantly pushing back. Well, maybe they're just open to new and creative ideas and want to better understand before they jump in to what's going on around them. And when you take that step back and you say, well, hold on a second, maybe they're just asking questions and not debating, because as parents and as this older generation, we've actually created this monster. We've engaged in it. We've enabled it. We we say, well, where's everyone want to go on vacation? What's everyone want for dinner? And it's become this vote. And so this very democratic family voting process, and everybody gets to participate and offer their input, has created this generalization of that there's this willingness to have a real conversation, have a real debate, which is probably what you're seeing in the political world these days. You hear about the younger voters, is this willingness to have a real-life dialogue about what's going on around them versus holding back your thoughts because maybe you didn't think it was politically correct. And so now you're having these debates going back and forth, and what's that do? That generates new ideas. It creates stronger and deeper relationships, and maybe, just maybe, that could be beneficial for your business.
Well, it's also not only that, but this generation has access at their fingertips to things the previous generations never even knew or understood. And that really is because they think globally. You know, you and I have had these conversations of walking into, I'm sure, your daughter's room or my son's room, and they've got the iPad going, they've got the iPhone on, they've got the TV on, they've got the radio on, they've got the, you know, they're on Skype, they got Snapchat going, they've got, you know, I don't know, they've got six or seven other things happen. The Xbox is on, they've got Netflix going on another TV, you know, he's got seven screens in front of him, and it's all media coming at you all the time. And yet you ask him, so what you doing, buddy? And he goes, nothing. You know, right? But they can research everything. And I know you speak a lot. You know, it's one of the things that we'll talk about as we go into the next segment here in a few seconds. But you speak quite a bit. And you know that today when you say facts and figures, and I'm sure even in your book, anybody can Google anything and see if you're accurate. Or we'll find a contrarian view to everything that you do today. It's just a different way of thinking. And you have to be really more sure of yourself in terms of communicating with the younger generation because of that.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. Is if you're going to grab any skill that's out there, learning to communicate in writing, full sentences, by the way, not just tweets, full sentences, and learning to speak will take you so much further than anything else that's out there.
You know, I just will have this little statement of we received, as you know, we do recruiting at CMA. And we had an interview for a candidate. And I'm not going to say what level or who because we're not going to protect the guilty here. That's what we're going to do. And we received a thank you email which said, thank you, capital letter U, thank you for your time. Okay, now, in texting, I wouldn't have even thought much about that. But but the professional world is different, right? And this is about learning about professional success and understanding the importance of doing it right. And it just floored me. I didn't even, you know, it was like, wow, okay. Right? I mean, are you seeing out there this blending between the social media understanding of what people are doing as we're seeing and the professional success that they need?
Yeah, it becomes instantly unsuccessful. you are leaving perceptions in the eyes of all generations if you cannot put together a grammatically correct sentence. And you get lax when it comes to sending an instant message at work, or you get send an email to somebody. You get very lax. And parts of what I teach when it comes to effective communication is don't let your guard down. Just know which channel you're using and what's acceptable. And sending a professional email, you need to be on your guard at all times and to be able to do it professionally, because if you don't, someone's going to leave with a perception and a bad taste in their mouth. And unfortunately, you're chuckling over the capital U, but it's also probably didn't help that person in their quest for getting in to where
it actually didn't help them at all. Not all. That's right. I mean, but people don't understand why, right? Sometimes they don't understand that professional level versus that social level. And, I mean, heaven forbid that had been to the CEO of the company who was looking to hire the person, right? Heaven forbid. He wouldn't have been taken seriously.
And it's about thinking. It's about, are you a thinker? Are you able to know? And this is part of the communication piece that I just mentioned. Having it as a skill, verbally and in writing, is important to know your audience. Sure, there are some people you can use a capital U with, and it'll fly past the radar. But are you sending it to a boss? Are you sending it to a peer? And when you start to understand your audience, part of my issue growing up in the professional world is being shy, painfully shy and introverted. I spent most of my time trying to write these emails and memos that were War and Peace because I wanted all the detail to go in writing so I didn't have to talk about it. Well, that I lost people because I would give the same message whether it was a peer, a colleague, a business partner, or my boss's boss. It didn't matter. And it hurt me. It hurt my career because I didn't understand my audience. And part of effective communication is truly knowing who you're communicating with and being able to adapt on the fly and think quickly, and putting two words together will allow you to find much more professional success.
We're talking with Tom Dowd, his new book, Now What? The Ultimate Graduation Gift for Professional Success. And you're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB and now on 100.5 FM. And we will be right back. Running a company can feel like you're surrounded. A key person quits. A big project presents itself. You need good people fast. Hello, I'm David Chulo of Career Management Associates. Our contract staffing service will fill a position or find the right talent for a short-term project. Hundreds of companies choose us because we deliver people that fit. Career Management Associates, your contract staffing solution. Go to cmacareer.com.
At highway speeds, the average text takes your eyes off the road for about 5 seconds. That's enough time to travel the length of a football field. Stop texts. StopWrecks.org.
And we're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour presented by CMAcareer.com. And today we've been talking with Tom Dowd. He's the author of the new book, number six, but the new book titled, Now What? The Ultimate Graduation Gift for Professional Success. Hey, Tom, I'm going to give you a free plug for a second. Tell us the six books. Lay them out for us so that people will know what they are.
The first one was, I mentioned, The Transformation of a Doubting Thomas, Growing from Cynic to a Professional in the Corporate World, and that's based off of my own ability to become self-aware, believe that I can make a difference where I was, and start to take action. The next was From Fear to Success, A Practical Public Speaking Guide, how I came from being this shy and introverted individual to very easily pragmatic advice on public speaking for all levels of speaker. The third was I lost my job, so I had nothing better to do, so I wrote a book on how to find one.
I remember it well.
It's called Displacement Day, When My Job Was Looking for a Job. And again, that's very practical advice on how to get past the emotional toll to very strategic and tactical ways of landing that job. I found as I was doing other projects how much I was able to balance my time. So I took what I've been teaching for 15 plus years for my fourth book, Time Management Manifesto, Expert Strategies to Create an Effective Work-Life Balance. But the fifth one was I was contributing. There were nine authors who contributed to the book, The Unofficial Guide to Fatherhood. And again, it's about testing myself as a writer. How do I view myself as a husband, as a father, as someone not in the professional world, because they're not the same. And I wanted to see if I could really share some stories that enlighten some folks on the lessons I learned as a father. And then obviously the most recent one, Now What? The Ultimate Graduation Gift for Professional Success.
Well, you know, as I said before, inspirational in regards to really taking your life lessons and bringing them forward for others to learn and understand about. You know, one of the things we've talked about here in the last couple segments, especially in the last segment, was the Generation Y and the Millennial Generation. You know, you've mentioned to me in the past that, and I think that it's obvious that the book is about you. It's a little bit of what you had called, your word, selfish book. What do you mean by that? You know, I mean, it's been 25 years since you graduated from college. Come on now.
Yeah, I've already shared the lessons I wish I learned back then, but I call this a selfish book because I got to test my own writing. I don't rhyme. You don't want to hear it. I've never sat there and wrote these lyrical prose, and I wanted to challenge myself as a writer. I wanted to say, can I get you to walk away as an audience and understand what the heck I'm talking about when I write something that rhymes? And I was laughing quite hysterically and not in a good way at my first draft of doing this. But then you start to figure out, well, how do I get a message across by rhyming? You know, how do I do it in being clear and concise? So I really had to test my own writing skills here. And I wanted a niche market. You know, a lot of the books I just mentioned are, I hate to say, general business topic related. It's all about learning to become a better leader, a better professional. It's about being more vulnerable. But this one was very specific. It is, if you are graduating and you're taking the leap out of high school or college into the real world in italicized font, I mean, that's where you sit there and say, well, you know, I have a niche market and I want to see if how this book fares against my other five compared to the other marketing that I was doing behind it. And I have a way to it's this way to go back and ask myself, and I'm being serious here, is am I living the personal and professional life I want? Am I the person and the professional I want to be? Do I consider myself successful? You know, looking back on the lessons that I share. So it's one of those, am I going to be on some pedestal saying that I'm just going to speak down to this, or am I living what I'm trying to share in my books? And I have to keep going back and re-ask myself these questions. And I hope that the answer is yes, but we all know hope is not a strategy. So by writing this book, it actually creates the need for me to live in what I'm preaching here. And it's been a great learning experience again to put words on paper and say, I'm not exactly that person I want to be, and I need to change. And I love the question that I get all the time. You know, what would you change about yourself? What's on your bucket list? And those types of similar questions. And I'll say nothing. I'll say I don't want to change. I love every mistake that I've ever made. I may not have liked it at the time, but the lessons I've learned have made me a better person, a better husband, a better father, a better leader, a better whatever I am. And I wouldn't want it any other way. However, when I learned the power of being handed this gift of feedback and took it to other people, you know, it saved them from their headaches by me sharing my own headaches. So again, it that's that translation from this selfish book into selfless, and it's an interesting transition when you start to take it that way, because we think in terms of, as authors, we start selfishly. What do I want to share with the audience? But by the end of the book, it better be what can they take out of it. And I've learned that in public speaking. I've learned it in books. And when you can effectively transition from that selfishness to the selflessness is when you've really found that it works.
Well, you know, it's very true in the sense that any good guide that helps an individual or helps a number of individuals move forward in their career or move forward in life, it's really about them understanding, it's about them individually and what can they change about themselves. And if they're, as we talked about a little bit earlier, their willingness to change. Mm-hmm. So how do, when you talk to millennials or Gen Y and maybe your daughters, because I know it's always a little bit different when you're talking about family. Let's be real about that. You know, I looked, Dad, come on, it's your book, come on. Right? I mean, how do you talk to them and get them to understand the real value that these lessons are to them? How do you translate that to them and make them understand that?
Yeah, they've got to be part of the process. And I'll give you a perfect example. I've partnered with Donna Cerdula, who has her own business called LinkedIn Makeover, and she does this wonderful job of doing LinkedIn profiles that are phenomenal. And she and I have worked together for many years. She put together my website many years ago, and we've just kept in touch. And you know, it's one of those peanut butter chocolate type things. She says, well, I'm doing all this LinkedIn, and someone asks for resumes all the time. And I say, oh, good, I do resumes, and people want LinkedIn all the time. So it ended up working out. And I said, but and she said, well, how's your process? And one of the processes that I do is I'll write up a baseline resume based off of what they had, maybe some information they supply, questionnaire. But I won't consider it final until I speak to that person for at least an hour. And she said, oh, we haven't typically done a lot of that or invested that much time. I said, I need an hour because I need them to buy in to say that these just aren't words on paper. And the first thing I tell the client when I have them on the phone is my job in the next hour is to, one, make sure that your resume is accurate. Because I don't want you walking any fine line that this isn't who you are. And number two, I want this to bring out the story in you. And I want to make sure that we're using words that you're comfortable with, that you know the story inside and out, and that we can do this together. And I had this woman the other day. She's been doing, you know, she's setting herself up. She was a project manager, and she said, I want another project manager role. And so I did this baseline, and she said, well, how can you do this baseline when you only have partial pieces of my information? I said, well, I am a project manager by heart. I have many years of project experience, so I know what project managers, for the most part, are looking for, and we'll get together, and we'll talk through the rest. And she got really uncomfortable. In fact, she went back to the person saying, get Tom off my project. I don't want to do this. And the person said, just meet with him. Just spend 60 minutes on the phone with him. And so she did it reluctantly. And we went over, and within the first 5 minutes, I said, you're underselling yourself. You have the skill set to be a senior project manager or something even beyond that, overseeing project managers. And you've got to start believing in yourself. And you've got to know that you have so much more to offer. And we ended up on the phone call, and she seemed happy. I was hoping she would be happy. And she sends a note back to Donna that said, we put together a pretty special resume. That's why I felt successful when all said and done about this, to answer your question, because she was part of the process, and it was her contributions on adding her story to this that made her buy into this and made her believe that she can really take the next step. And she said, Tom gave more than resume advice. Tom gave career and life advice during that conversation. And I don't recall those parts of the conversation where we were doing that, but she really truly believed that she was taking leaps into her next career success. And she doesn't even know what that is, but she's now ready and prepared to do that. And it made me feel so good that I didn't just write something and send it her way and say, we're good. It's about holding their hand to the point where they can let go. And I've said this before in other interviews that I've been on, is I have the worst business model out there. If I do my job well, I don't need to see them again. They are professionally successful. They've set themselves up with resumes and interviews. And you say, well, how do you sustain that business model? Well, you sustain it because you have people refer others to you and send those. And that's when we know collectively that we've been successful and that we're doing what we should when others come back to you and with others that you can help.
We're talking with Tom Dowd and his new book, Now What? The Ultimate Graduation Gift for Professional Success. I've said it before during this interview, Tom, and I mean it. You've done a great job of putting together this book. You've made it very relevant for the younger generations and for millennials especially that are getting out of college. I think that it has some real pointed advice that hopefully that, you know, people will be looking at and thinking about for the next generation. As we're finishing up the show today, what parting words do you have and you want to leave to the audience? And then we'll certainly talk about where people can find your book.
Well, thank you so much for those kind words. I'd say first, network. Always network. Network when you don't need it. because when the time comes that you do, it may be too late. So build your network with people you don't know, and that goes beyond social network, LinkedIn network. And this is about having real conversations with people and broaden your sphere of influence. The second thing I tell you is, as you're looking for a job, is understand the culture of the company you're looking into. Because understand that when you're walking into an interview, it's just as much about you liking the company as they are the company liking you. And make sure that you understand it's a two-way street. And finally, this symbolic thing we call graduation, the stepping stone into adulthood, we'll call it, that's in our culture, it doesn't mean that your life ends. And I'm going to give away the end of the book with the final passage. And it was just so much fun to write and so much fun to end the book on this. And last, please stay close to your family and friends. Just because you need to find a job doesn't mean that your life ends. And hopefully those are a parting gift that I can leave for the audience.
Tom, I want to thank you so much for being on the show today. Where can people get your book? We talked about Amazon. We'll certainly have at the end of the show on the HRPowerHour.com. We'll have a link directly to somebody getting to your book and getting to you directly. But give an overall how somebody can reach you and buy your book.
Yeah, thank you so much. They can get it on Amazon. It is an e-book in regular format. And in the paperback version, if you go to you can see it at a slightly cheaper rate if you buy it from Thomas Dowd Professional Development and Coaching. I'll send you, if you go through that route, I'll send you a signed copy of it. Or you can go through my website, transformationtom.com, or find me through LinkedIn under Thomas D. Dowd. All those books we went over before, they are all on Amazon. You can find them under Thomas D. Dowd III. You can check out my Facebook page, Thomas Dowd Professional Development Coaching, my YouTube channel, Transformation Tom, and find me on Twitter on @TomDowd and the number 4.
Every social media possibility out there to get a hold of Tom that there is. But we appreciate it so much. And as I said, we'll have all this information on HRPowerHour.com right after the show with links to Tom directly. Tom, thank you for being on the show.
Thank you so much.
And now your HR tip of the week. Your HR tip of the week is being sponsored by VeralDana.com.
Hi, this is Tawny Alvarez from VeralDana. None of us like to think of worst-case scenarios, but it is important for employers to do a self-assessment to determine the potential for workplace violence in each of their physical plants or locations. To minimize possible chances of workplace violence, there are multiple steps you can take. First, assess physical risk factors in the building or on the grounds. Are there isolated locations? Areas with poor lighting or unsecured areas? If so, are there steps you can take to minimize those threats? Next, consider your work schedule and how it relates to these risks. Do you have employees who are working late hours in isolated areas? Does this potentially increase the risk of assault? Consider added security that you may be able to provide. Further, create a policy or procedure as to how to respond to reported threats or violent acts. Make sure that your policy balances your goal of providing a safe workplace while minimizing the risk of workplace violence and balancing employees' privacy rights. Contact a member of VeralDana's Labor and Employment Practice Group to discuss more.
And that's your HR Tip of the Week, sponsored by VeralDana.com. Thank you for listening, and catch us every week at 10 a.m. on News Talk WLOB 1310 a.m. or streaming live on WLOBRadio.com. Podcasts of this show and every show are available at HRPowerHour.com. Have a great week, everyone, and remember, HR management is critical to your business's success.